Hello, somebody. This is Nina Turner, and I want to tell you about Power Hour with yours truly, Nina Turner, the new weekly program I'm hosting for TYT. Every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, I'll be bringing the heat for an hour filled with power. We'll speak truth to power, we'll talk about how to fight the power, and we'll plan how to leverage the power that we the people have. This show is for TYT members only, but for a limited time, we'll be making the first half an hour available to everyone, then the second half an hour just for members. For access to the full show, be sure to sign up for TYT membership at tyt.com/join today.
All right. Welcome to Power Hour with Nina Turner. I'm Cenk Uygur, obviously.
Are you sure?
Yeah. If you're a member and you're not positive that I'm Cenk, right? And obviously Senator Nina Turner, her name's in the title. How you doing, Nina?
I'm good, Cenk. How are you today?
I'm a funny mixed bag. So look, as part of our jobs, we're kind of warriors or gladiators or, you know, however you want to describe it, for our side. And so when you do that, you wind up in the middle of a lot of fights. And so now corporate Democrats have it much easier. They don't, you know, get their hands dirty, and they get their media to do their hatchet jobs and their character assassinations, etc. And then they are aloof. But we have to go and actually fight right-wingers and Republicans 24/7. And so when you do, well, then, you know, I partly enjoy it. And partly it's like, you know what the hardest part is, Anita? It's coming to terms with the fact that a significant percentage of any population can be misled to believe absolutely insane things. You know?
That's right.
I don't know if they're...
Especially with social media, Cenk. I think social media, sorry to cut you off, I think social media makes it so much worse. I really do. Maybe it's just me. I would love to know what the members think. It's a great tool in terms of reaching people all over the world, but my God, it definitely exacerbates bad situations. It makes them worse.
Yeah, it has the potential to make situations better, too. And we've got a loving community here, and we're trying to find a way to build a process so that you guys can help effectuate positive change in the world and set a good example. But in the meanwhile, we got to fight the bad guys. So we're torn all the time. You know, I don't want to call them crazy. I don't want to call them names. But at least 25% of Republicans believe that Democratic leaders are in a satanic cult and drink the blood of children. So that's, by the way, that's a wildly anti-Semitic trope that's been around for, you know, thousands of years. And so it's rearing its ugly head again, and no one is even noticing the anti-Semitism. And it's a quarter horrible. Of Republicans believe it. And so I don't know how to get them out of that brainwashing.
No, it makes no sense. You need more Republican leaders. Obviously, the leaders that these people listen to, partly, because sometimes they might not necessarily listen to them, but I think Republican Party has an obligation to talk to the members of that party, or at least the people who follow that party, and say, this is wrong. That's part of it. And other leaders should do the same.
Yep, 100%.
I know you were trending last. You know, I kind of woke up this morning at 3 o'clock and I couldn't go back to sleep. So I started reading, but then I tiptoed into social media, speaking of social media, and I saw my dear friend trending.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize I was trending, and I trend fairly regularly for a very obvious reason, which is that I bother to fight the right wing in social media, and everyone else is like, well, I mean, you don't want to pick on poor Joe Rogan. I don't. He's a neutral guy. Neutral. His best friend's Alex Jones. They just did a show with deeply racist Tim Pool and deeply racist and psychotic Alex Jones all together. Yeah, no, I'm going to pick on him. And I'm going to tell people who he is. And so then everybody catches feelings. Oh, poor Joe Rogan. Because, Nina, you know what's happening. Everybody's trying to get on a show. So
yeah. So it has to be poor Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And, yeah. And what's, look, now we're really on a tangent, but hey, we're having a conversation. That's okay. So,
yes, yeah. We are.
Yeah. Right. And so the reason why I'm actually even more mad at Rogan is because he had an interesting show. He used to hear out both sides. He endorsed Bernie. Like that, there was a lot of hope there, right? And then he just went down a right-wing rabbit hole and never came out.
He went back to who he really is, I would say. I mean, even my grandmother used to say even a broke clock is right twice a day. I'm sure other folks have grandmothers who say something similar. But that's just really who he is. And Cenk, you and I have had many conversations about this. It's marketable. So it's not just the Joe Rogans of the world, it's other people even on the so-called progressive left who do similar things just to get the clicks and the likes, and they don't care. They just sensationalize the hell out of stuff. And even if it is negative and has a bad effect or even gives people the wrong information, they could care less as long as it gets them headlines.
Yeah. And then other people on the left will sit back sometimes and judge the way that I fight. Oh, you're overly aggressive. Well, isn't it time that we had someone overly aggressive
against the right wing? Right, it's called fight for a reason. You ain't trying to tickle them, are you? Are you, Cenk? You trying to tickle them or no. You're in a fight?
Yes. As usual, I love a saying from Nina that comes out of this. It's called a fight for a reason.
Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, it's not called tea and biscuits. Anyways, I'll come at them, they'll come at me, and that's partly why I want progressives to win and to go into general elections, because we can actually fight Republicans. We're not afraid of it. Yeah.
We are not.
Yeah, let us at them. You know, it's just Jesus Christ, the party whose leadership is filled with lunatics, Democrats constantly losing to them is maddening. It's maddening. Get in there and fight already.
Thank you for fighting. I could tell because you were sighing a little more than usual as we were getting on. And I'm like, something is going on.
Yeah. I look, the right wing fighting back, that's Tuesday. I don't mind that at all. Right. It is what it is. And, you know, it's disheartening that 40% of the country has lost its mind. But I'm trying to snap them out of it in my own way. It's when the others don't go tut tut. Like, I bet if we were nicer to them or gave them muffins, and I'm exaggerating, right? But when people say you fought the wrong way, when they're sitting it out, I got no tolerance for it.
Ignore them. I mean, it gets to you because you have feelings. I have feelings. So it's easy to say, ignore them, but we really do. We got to keep pressing towards the high mark, and that's what we're doing. And that doesn't make us perfect, but we are willing to get into the fight for what is just, right, and good. And that I'm proud of. So Cenk, I'm glad that you're calling these people out and that you are in this fight, and I'm sure the members are too.
All right, so one super last thing, guys, on that. I shouldn't be trending every other week. There should be 10, 12, 20, 100 progressives and people on the left that are trending because they're fighting the right wing so hard, right? And everybody should be saying, whoa, man, you guys are all hitting the Republicans and the right wing too hard. I should be, so that make me not trend by having everyone else do it.
At least not by yourself.
Yes. All right, anyways, so we got a whole show for you guys. Nina, what's our story of the week this week?
Well, our story of the week, we're going to talk about the gerrymandered districts. As I'm sure everybody knows, we're at that point again. The census is done. The census was delayed, obviously, because of the pandemic. But here we are. Every 10 years, we do the census. And after the census, lines are drawn. And so we have gerrymandering hell going on right now because Republicans control an inordinate amount of state legislatures all over this country. And it is in many states, most states, state legislatures draw the lines, particularly the congressional lines. And in other states, there's this nonpartisan group that does the same. And this means so much to me, Jink, because I was in the Ohio Senate the last time congressional lines were drawn, and I voted against those maps because they were gerrymandered to hell. I was also a witness. I also testified, I believe it was the ACLU and others, A. Philip Randolph Institute and some others who filed suit in Ohio against those lines too. And I was called as one of the witnesses based on what, you'll never guess what, why they called me. They called me because of my floor speech against the maps. Imagine that. See, when you got somebody talking about fighting, now I didn't know all those years later that my speech was going to be used in a court case to argue against those maps. But I stood up on that floor in that supermajority Republican legislature, Ohio Senate, and told them off factually about the damage that those maps were going to do. And we find ourselves here almost 12 years later going through the same thing, not just in Ohio, but all over the country. So in the 12 states, and we're going to talk about this, in the 12 states that have completed the mapping process, some have not, Republicans have gained an advantage for seats in Iowa, North Carolina, Texas, and Montana, and Democrats have lost the advantage in districts in North Carolina and Iowa. All told, Republicans have added a net of 5 seats that the party can expect to hold, while Democrats are down 1. Republicans need to flip just 5 Democratic-held seats next year to seize a House majority. And that is coming from the New York Times. So, Jink, I want us to rest right there and just have this conversation about, you know, gerrymandering itself. And I just have a real question. Democrats knew that the next 10 years was going to come. And I don't know why we didn't prepare for this moment.
Yeah, no, Nina, look, the ineptitude of the Democratic leadership is mind-numbing. So as you know, there's For the People Act, and it ends gerrymandering on the national level, meaning that when it's the law is passed at the national level, the states will not be able to gerrymander as they're doing now. If they don't pass that, it is both negligence against democracy itself, but also political negligence. You'd be nuts not to fix this problem if you're the Democratic Party. And apparently, they might be nuts.
They just might be. And we know that Shelby V. Holder really started all of this, the backlash from the election. I believe a lot of the backlash had to do with the election of the first African-American president. We saw Republican legislatures lose their ever-loving minds post-2008. And then in 2010 came the census, 2011, we're voting on maps. And we remember, Jink, lost almost 1,000 seats, both on the federal level and also state levels of government. And that's why I just don't understand. They knew the play was coming again. And there's not enough investment, in my opinion, on winning state legislatures and Secretary of State offices to expand and protect access to the ballot box, especially given the ineptitude and the unwillingness on the federal level. We must. When you talk about how to use the power and what can we do, we got to start to focus on not just winning the presidency and the Congress, but to win state legislatures. And I would argue Secretary of State's offices are vitally important. And I'm not just saying that because I ran in 2014 against an incumbent, putting my body on the line to protect and expand the ballot box, but it is vitally important to have someone in Secretary of State's offices all over this country who, once they are elected, they know that their job is to protect and expand and not to pick winners and losers when it comes to the rules for voting. I mean, that was something simple. We saw that coming. It wasn't a surprise that we were going to have another census and redistricting 10 years later. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And so I've now seen the Democratic Party bungle this 1,000 times in my lifetime, and I'm sick of it. So here, let's give you the example of North Carolina, because it's shocking. It's North Carolina is separated by 1.5 points. It is razor thin. OK, so that's where it is at the in presidential elections. And you see it also in governor's elections where Republicans win, then Democrats win, then Republicans win, and it goes back and forth. So North Carolina is a very split state, nearly even. The way that it's gerrymandered now, because there's a Republican legislature in place, there will be 10 Republican seats and only 4 Democratic seats. Now, if you're the Democratic Party and you can't fix that, and you've had 40 years to fix it, more than that, but at least 40 years that I've been paying attention, you've had to fix it, and you still haven't fixed it. And even though the country is majority Democratic, but you let Republicans win in the House, the Senate is harder to fix. Like, we're practical about it, but you let them win in the House because of gerrymandering. You let them win the presidency because of the Electoral College. What is wrong with you people? Why don't you ever do anything?
No, I don't get it. And this is something that did not have to happen this way, because we had 10 years to prepare for this moment to come around again, at least recently. But you're right, this has been going on for a long time. And let's face it, both parties gerrymander, but in with the advent of technology, the way that it is, they can laser focus in ways 50 years ago was unthinkable in the gerrymandering process. So let's talk about how gerrymandering is most often or most commonly done. So gerrymandering is carried out in many ways, but the two most common forms are cracking and packing. Cracking is when map makers spread a cluster of a certain type of voters, for example, those affiliated with the opposing party, among several districts to dilute their vote. Packing is when members of a demographic group, like African-American voters, or voters in the opposing party, political party, are crammed into a few districts as possible. And that is the way that gerrymandering is carried out most often. Either dilute or you pack people up into one district. And so thereby the number of districts that one group would be able to vote in is very limited. That is happening in Ohio. I mean, for example, this time around in Ohio, we're going to go from, we lost a seat. So now we're from 16 to 15, and they're only going to have 2 congressional seats. It was 4. They're only going to have 2 now that are solidly Democratic seats. In other words, for Democrats to win in the great state of Ohio from 4 Democrat seats. So it was 12 to 4 before. And one of the reasons why I voted against that is because, as you laid out, Democratic vote had the majority of the votes nationally in the Congress. Ohio at that time in 2010, 2011 was not overwhelmingly Republican in that way. We certainly have gotten redder, but I voted against those maps because they were always going to guarantee almost all the time that 4 Democrats would be elected and 12 Republicans almost always for the next 10 years. And guess what happened? That is what happened over the last 10 years. So that's why these maps, they're so important.
Nina, though, let's again be honest about the Democratic culpability here, though. When they do the packing portion of this, what they do is they pack tons and tons of Democratic voters into one district. And then Democratic incumbents think this is the world's safest district. So I don't care about the rest of the Democratic Party. I don't care about our voters. I don't care what happens in the state of Ohio. But if I keep these districts as is, I'll be reelected for the rest of time. So aren't Democratic incumbents partially responsible here and partially go along, wink and nod, and let the Republicans win nationally so they can have super safe seats?
Oh, without a doubt. I remember the calls that I got. Don't vote against this map. So-and-so supports this map because of their seat. I said, the hell with so-and-so. I'm voting against this map for the people of this state and not just one individual. So you're absolutely right. Both parties are complicit. When one controls the pen, as long as they're drawing the maps in a way that the incumbent can win, they don't really care. And it's vice versa on both sides. So yes, Cenk, you're absolutely right. The Democrats are 100% complicit in this. They just make a phone call and make sure that they can win their seat. And that's really all they care about. They don't care about the whole. And that's again why you need people like me and people like you who care about the whole. Politicians should not be selecting their constituents, no matter what party they're from. The constituents should be able to select their politicians, but that's not what happens during gerrymandering. It's the other way around. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess we could stay on this.
So last thing on this, Nina. For the People Act, easily passed the House, right? So I don't know if they mean it or if they know that it's going to get killed in the Senate when it comes to leadership. I think most Democrats, to be fair to Democrats here, I think the majority of Democrats in Congress do want For the People Act to pass. Yeah. And I would probably say the great majority of them want it, right? So let's be fair. There are some who don't. And it's not just that they're against the For the People Act, but the corporate Democrats in the Senate, like Manchin and Sinema, and there are probably others, think if we get rid of the filibuster, then we'll have no excuse to not deliver for the voters. And so the donors love the filibuster because it allows them to kill $15 minimum wage and lower drug prices and paid family leave, all these incredibly popular things, by going, oh, there's nothing we could do. The Republicans wouldn't say yes, right? So since they don't want to kill the filibuster because of their donors, now we can't pass the Voting Rights Act and the For the People Act, which would end gerrymandering. So, but that leads to the final culpability, which is Joe Biden. If it was me, if it was you, Nina, you know what you'd do. You would go and you would talk to Manchin and Sinema about how there'd be blood on the floor, a little bit of his and a little bit of yours. And so that's the line from Michael R. White that you've told us before, yeah, the former mayor of Cleveland. And that's how hardball politics works. But Joe Biden, it appears, is never going to play hardball politics. If they don't get For the People Act passed and protect voting rights, wouldn't the African-American base, the strongest voting base for Democrats, be absolutely justified in being livid?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, Black people certainly have a unique experience in this country when it comes to voting rights. It's not the only thing that we care about, but because of our unique experience and the way we had to garner the opportunity to be able to vote in this country, it is very special. And as Congressman John Lewis once said, almost sacred to the African-American community. So absolutely. And it breaks my heart that in the 21st century, the Black Women's Roundtable, for example, led by Melanie Campbell, you got our dear brother Ben Jealous, who's leading People for the American Way, you got Dr. Reverend William Barber, and so many others getting arrested and marching in the 21st century for flipping voting rights, trying to convince a democratically controlled presidency and a democratically controlled Congress to protect the franchise. Riddle me that. I mean, wrap your mind around that, if you please. And then the GOP, forget about it. They're not going to do anything to protect and expand. They're going to do everything to suppress the vote. But the Democrats are in control in that Congress, and they need to fight like hell to protect access to the ballot box. So yeah, the African-American community and every other community that votes by extension has a right to be mad as hell. And Jing, it's going to suppress votes next year, because a lot of African-Americans are going to say, what the hell? Why am I going to vote? You lied to me the whole time, along with all the other issues that they promised was going to happen. And, you know, while we're talking about next year, let's talk about Senator Warnock. I believe he's going to be very vulnerable next year, and they playing games. Get rid of the filibuster and get to protecting voting rights.
Yeah. And look, all the Republicans are guilty.
All of them.
Yeah, we don't want to understate that. Every one of them votes against voting rights. Every one of them supports insane, ludicrous gerrymandering, right, that takes away freedom and democracy from the American people.
They just voted against the John Lewis. That's the only one we had named. But to your point, Republicans just voted against the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Yes, and that's the water, like, that's not nearly as strong as For the People Act, and every Republican voted against it anyway. And that's the one Manchin said they were going to vote for. Ha ha, hilarious. But what we're all sick of as Democrats is electing Democrats and then begging them to do the thing they said they were going to do.
Exactly. That's it. We shouldn't be begging.
Yeah. Guys, it gives away the game. It shows you that the Democratic leadership doesn't actually want to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to plead with them to do it. It's voting rights. This is the bare minimum. And we've got former head of the NAACP Reverend Barber is probably the biggest moral leader in this country. They're all getting arrested saying, please, not to a Republican president, but to a Democratic president. Can you please at least do the bare minimum in doing your job?
It burns my behind. It makes no sense. It's unacceptable. So in terms of how we use the power, we have groups out there that are standing out, marching almost every single week, getting arrested, pleading with Democrats who are in control. Republicans have lost their minds, so they're pleading with Democrats who are in control. That's happening right now. You have people writing letters. You have petitions being signed. So it is people with big names and big cachet, and then it's the grassroots people as well doing everything that they can, calling their elected representatives to just absolutely beg them to do something about voting rights. This should not be happening. You know, when we ask the question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? When you have voter suppression, you have a federal level that doesn't want to do anything about it. On the state level, you got laws that are being passed and will be on the books for 2022. That is a combination for disaster. So what do we think is going to happen in 2022? And then when we sprinkle in gerrymandering, boom, jinx. No wonder the predictions are that the Republicans are going to be able to take back the House and maybe even the Senate.
Well, the latest analysis is that just in those 12 states, the Republicans have already gotten the 5 seats they need to retake the House, while the Democratic leadership sits idly by and lets them steamroll this democracy.
They're fiddling while chrome is burning. That's what they're doing. Fiddling. Yes.
Looking for a new career? Welcome to DO HVAC Training Service Center in North Charleston. Enroll today in our comprehensive HVAC training hands-on field experience-based program covering troubleshooting, maintenance, installation, and more on various HVAC systems and ductwork. We offer EPA and NAEP preparation and testing, along with various certifications. Enjoy payment options. Take advantage of their November specials. Achieve certification in under 5 months. Enroll now for your new journey of skill development and career advancement. Log on to DEWHVACTrainingSC.com to inquire.
Yeah. Get to work. Jesus.
Now I'm signed. I'm signing.
All right. Let's keep going, though. We got a big show. All right. Nina, who's our hero of the week?
Oh, my goodness. Our hero of the week. So this will be the 6th year that this family that found one another will be celebrating Thanksgiving. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this story. So it's Wanda Dench and Jamal Hinton. And in 2016, Miss Dench sent a text message out, and she thought she was texting her grandson, but she was texting Jamal by mistake and said, hey, you know, what time Thanksgiving dinner will be at a certain time, and I want you there. She said, it'll be at 3 o'clock, and let me know if you're coming. Hope to see you all. And of course, that includes Amanda and Justin. And Jamal texts back, who is those? And she said, your grandma. Grandma, can I have a picture? Hilarious. Of who? You. And she puts her picture, and we see the picture. Oh my God, I love the story so much. And then Jamal says, you're not my grandma, with the, you know, laughing emojis. He said, can I still get a plate, though? And she said, of course you can. That's what grandmas do. They feed everyone.
We love you.
Wow. Yeah, we love you. Oh, my God.
Okay. That's all right. All right, Nina, you're the best. Thank you for doing this. That's and for being a shining light and showing the way on how this stuff actually could get done. You're the best.
Well, thank you for fighting so hard and trending every other week.
All right. Much love. We'll see you guys.
Much love. Bye, members.
Bye.